Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I just want to take a few minutes out and talk about Will Bronskin, who is now deceased, one of my heroes. I have very, very few heroes here in the city of Benton Harbor, but Will was one. He stood tall during the crisis, and he stood with me because he knew I was right. You see, a lot of times people don't know whether you're right or wrong, but Will Bronskin knew that I was right. He was a real hero. You know, people wouldn't give him his props, but I'm here today to give him his props. He was more than just a man. And also a smart man. He knew how to work and achieve things. He bought about 10 to 15 houses and rented them out to everybody. And he was just huge. You know, he knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly what he had to do. Will Bronskin was a man that you can count on. He was a man that, you know, that went beyond the call of duty. And he was that. You know, he once told me, he said that the struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor is a case in point. One holds on numerous of lessons for the Benton Harbor residents. He said the fight in Benton Harbor is a war. It's not a conflict over whether Benton Harbor residents would have prosperity, democracy, live in poverty, and have clean, safe water under the heels of the open corporate rule. This is what Will talked about. He talked my language. He was in his 80s, late 80s when he died, but he was a true hero. And I love the way he carried himself. I love the way he did things. I just love the way he positioned himself. He's no longer with us, and I want to honor him because I love him. I want to honor him because he is the man who he was. Well, listen, Will Bronskin, my hero, is no longer with us. And all we can do is pray for his family. On that note, let me move on. I want to talk about what is civil literacy. Civil literacy is making your voice heard. That's it. You out there doing what you're supposed to do. You out there fighting a good fight, you see. You may not fight like everybody else fight, but your voice is being heard because you can't be silent and claim that you're fighting the good fight. No, that will not work. You cannot be silent and claim that you are out here fighting. It can't be happening. You know, you have to speak truth to power, you see. And deal with it because it's not about you. It's about the future of our children. That's what's at stake. See, what is civil literacy? What is it? Okay. When you see that there's a problem, you stand up. And here's the thing. You're not going to be very popular with people who are not doing anything. You see, remember that. You're not going to be very popular. People are not going to reach out and embrace you. Most times, people only like you when they can get something out of you. If they can't get anything out of you, they don't like you. They don't want you around. They can't stand you. You look funny. You act funny. You know, you're tall. You're short. You're fat. You're skinny. This is the attitude that we have today. And we have to change this attitude because it is so important. You know, I was asked, when are you going to stop fighting for these people? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm never going to stop fighting for the people. I'm never. And I probably end up dying with my boots on. You see? But this is the way it is. We have allowed ourselves to be in this compromising position. You see, how much do we have to suffer for you to say no more? How long do we have to suffer for you to say no more? How long? How long? We have suffered for over 450 years. We have suffered from abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, raping. And we still want to be like these evil, wicked people. What kind of mess is that? What's wrong with us? You don't see a problem with that? I'm going to talk about Deion Sanders just a little bit. I like him. I like what he's done for Jackson. I love it. But the job has not been completed. And he's leaving for more money. But maybe I can't put him in a car. Maybe that's his dream. He dream of being a Division I big school head coach. I can't even comment on that. And I won't, because I think he did a lot for Jackson. I just don't think this was the time to leave yet. If he had a couple of more winning seasons, Florida A&M, these colleges would be knocking down the door to come get him. But I think he jumped too soon. Too soon. But that's my opinion. You know, he got to live his own life. I don't look at him as a sellout or anything like that. I don't. But I don't really want to talk about it right now because I'm a little disappointed, but he gave us 3 years, you see. 3 years, three good years. He put the historical black college and universities really on the map, especially for football. So I can't be really mad at him. I'm not. But one thing I am mad about, I'm mad about black folks spending over $3 billion on gym shoes. I got a problem with that. When I first heard the total, I said, well, $3 billion, that's a lot of money. I said, just the gym shoes, are you sure? I questioned it. And I said, you know, it's more like $2 billion, but they rounded off to $3 billion. But it was accurate. It's accurate. You can look it up. And the sad part about all this, we got black folks starving to death. We have black people starving to death right now. And I tell you this much, I don't want to pay no more than $50 for a pair of gym shoes. I don't. That's me. You see. We're different people, but I don't believe in that stuff. One of the things that I like to do is make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. I cannot get angry with what you do. I can't. I can tell you about it, but what you do is on you. You see? And listen, let's admit one problem. We got a problem, black folks. We have a major problem. A major problem. A major problem. And we need to get this thing right. We don't have it right now. We don't have it where it should be. We're not doing the things that we're supposed to do. Your thing is to make a build a foundation for the future of your children. And your children's job is to build a foundation for their children. And that's what we fail to do. And I'm not going, another thing, talk about weeds. But this coach said that he went and clamped out some of the top basketball players' lockers. It was full of these marijuana roaches, the clips and everything. So that meant that he was smoking the weed inside the locker room. We are better than this, black people. We are better than this. We have to make sure that I'm gonna get high enough. Look, man. Look. Take care of your business. You have an obligation to the next generation. Have an obligation to them. That's where we drop the ball. We don't believe that we have an obligation to help each other. You know, that's why you have all these sellouts. Everybody wants all the money in the world. All the money in the world. You're not going to be able to spend that money in your lifetime. Share it. Build the community up. You don't have to give it to someone specifically. You can start opening up stores, restaurants, clothing stores, gas stations, health centers. You could do these things. I'm talking about these to you athletes. God gave you this talent. Give it back to the community. You see, white folks don't have to do that. You see, white people don't have to do that. They don't have to do that. They don't. They don't have to do that. But black people, we have to do it because what they have done is practically destroyed us in so many ways. See, what they're doing is scientific. They're attacking us one step at a time. So that way you don't know you're being attacked. The first thing they did, they started with the school system. Once they attacked that school system, then it started trickling down. You see, it probably started over 30 years ago. Over 30 years ago. And this is why we have what we have today. Doesn't make sense. You see, we are probably the most hated race of people there, and they use the media and everything else to attempt to destroy us, and it's working. We are failing our children. It's go for me too, because my job is to sacrifice and be willing to die to make sure that they have a foundation. We're not at that stage yet. We are not at that stage yet. We are not at that stage yet. We're supposed to be building. Do you realize that we were in slavery for over 450 years? All we want to do, all black folks want to do, is be accepted by white folks. Your master. That's all they want to do. All they want to do is be accepted by white folks. If they're accepted by white folks, they're all right. They're good to go. The only thing they want to do is be accepted by white folks. That's it. Man, I just don't get it. I mean, don't you know there's something wrong with what you're doing? Look at these. Look, you this shot got more money now than half the people in the whole world. but yet he's still a butt kisser. He still can't say what he wants to say. Well, he's not a good talker, no way, but he still can't say what he wants to say. Charles Barkley, another one. How do we let these people? I wouldn't waste my time listening to nothing Shaq has to say. I don't care what he says. I'm not listening to it. He said, well, you're going to get $1 million a month. I'm not listening to him. I'm not listening to Barkley. I'm not listening to him. I'm not listening to Stephen A. Smith. I'm not listening to Steve Harvey. I'm not listening to Shannon Sharp. I'm not listening to none of these folks. You know, I'm not doing it. That don't mean that you can't. I'm not going to be mad at you because you do it. But the bottom line is this stuff has to stop. It's not going to stop until these guys, every time one of them speak out with some of that crazy stuff, and somebody did a drive-by, that'll stop some of that stuff, you see. That'll stop some of that stuff. But what is it going to take? My children are important. My children are important. I don't want them. It has taken us 450 years over from to get to where we at today, to get to where we at today, and we know where. We ain't nowhere. We're one of the most hated groups there is in the nation. They do everything to us. The cops shoot and kill them. You know, if a kid was growing up, the first thing he would say, if you ask him, what is the number one killer among black men, they're cops. What's number two? Black folks. That's what it is. You live here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. You have to change the way you do business. You know, I can't change the whole world by myself. And here's the good news. I'm not going to try. I'm only going to do what I do. We've been fortunate to have 28 people released from prison. They had did a total, listen to this, a total of 1,100 in some odd years. That's right. They have completed over 1,100 years in prison. We got them released. And we got two more that's going to be released in 2023. One of them had did 45 years. The other one, around that era, they in the 40s, high 40s. But the key is, we have to do what we have to do. We can't sit back and expect people to do stuff that you can't do. Do what you can. And we do this with no money. No money. You know, that's the bad part. Nobody gives us money. Nobody. Nobody comes and says, well, hey, thank you for the work you do. They don't do that. Because then the power to be will find out about this. And that will create a problem for them in their eyesight, you see. They believe that if they connect with me on any level, the whirlpool, the elected officials will all come after you. They're going to come after you anyway. They're destroying your children. The kids down around here doing drive-by shooting, and nobody's saying a word. They're doing a cowardly act. That's what that is. They're a coward. Your son is a coward if he do a drive-by, whether you like it or not. Your son, you raised a coward. That's what you did. If your son get out here and do a drive-by and shoot somebody, some little four-year-old kid, some five-year-old little girl, he's a coward. That's what he is. He's a straight-up coward. And we have to tell them that they're cowards, you know. Trying to become a gangster. Ain't nothing gangster about that. What's gangster about that? You doing a drive-by shooting a 4-5-year-old kid. And get your head together. That don't even make any sense at all. Well, look, I'm going to bring in my first guest real fast, Annette. Let her tell us when to shop, when not to shop, when to go to McDonald's, when not to go to McDonald's. Since the Sample of the Year Award is passed up, but we're working on a plan now to go national with this and trying to figure out how we can do. We're going the way I say everybody put in their sambos, and whoever has the best sambos, that's, you know, we'll put that in at the end of the year, let everybody vote. But the problem is different states may not know about your sambos, you know, if they're not on a, on a national level. So that's one of the problems that I have with this. I can't seem to work it out within my, my head how I'm going to do this. But the Sambo of the Year is big time. It's bigger than life. It's bigger than life. And we want to make sure that people understand how important this is. But listen, let me move on. Let me go to my first guest. And from there, we'll bring in everybody else. We only have two people speaking on my show. I usually try to keep it that way, which is important. You don't want too many people speaking at one time, because I want to give people enough time to say whatever they want to say. And to my good friend Annette, I know you're there, and I know that you have so much that you want to say, and there's so much that I want to hear you say. So, Annette, how are you doing? Talk to me.
Wow, now that right there is a loaded question, and I don't think we can put it into the blog talk today. However, I do want to give honor to our fallen Black Panther leader. I do so much research, and again, this is such a spiritual journey, and it's connecting so many dots. On yesterday, in listening to the show, and also having the brothers talk about, again, the fulfillment of the Bible and how it's being fulfilled. And so now, as I started on this journey, I didn't really understand, even when I kept telling everybody, okay, you guys, now we have manifested this multi-trillion dollars estate. I mean, it's multi-trillion. And again, people were looking at me like I was crazy. But Congress actually had a hearing December 8, 2021. Please go on YouTube and pull up where Congress examines nearly $32 trillion hidden, the Pandora Papers. Please pull that up. Listen to the hearing. And they talking about who is the leaker, who leaked all this information, who leaked all this data. They had 600 journalists, went to 117 countries. And if you also go on YouTube with James S. Henry, they're going to let you know, no, it wasn't $32 trillion. It's more like $50 trillion. And this is accumulating on a daily basis, an hourly basis, because everything that the devil has stolen is coming back to us. All of this is being accumulated and calculated, and we actually have documented proof of what is going on. This is a shifting of the wealth. Now, we want every single person, please, when you hang up today, get on your Facebook, your Instagrams, all your social medias. Please call your pastor. Get in touch with your grandmother's church. This is really important, both sides of your family, your mother's side and your daddy's side. Get in touch with these pastors. Have them to start pulling the roll. And this is for every single person. Just like our brother was speaking to us on yesterday, yes, this is true. It is for every single person, because we don't know who you are. And the way this works is you got to come and you got to give an account for your household. And you let us know who all of your family and your children, bring them. It's about having the lost souls. We're all coming back, and we're all coming back to Christ, but he's going to give us an inheritance that we won't have room to receive. Now, everybody is at this point. Again, everybody is waking up. Everybody is waking up. Okay, and everybody's saying, okay, what we do next? Okay, it's not what we do next. It's what we don't do next. This is what we don't do. Everybody, make sure you get your calendars. Make sure you get your calendars. And this is on one accord, because it doesn't matter what city you in. It doesn't matter what country you in. It doesn't matter what continent you are on. Make sure on McDonald Mondays, don't go to no fast food on Mondays, because we're going to take our weakness. Again, you just talked about buying $3 billion of tennis shoes. However, if we're actually doing it with the right people, and we are the right people, we're going to show the world our economic power. So if we're going to this gas station, because they are actually donating back to our HBCUs, they doing business with our businesses, they are, okay, well, we can go to this one. If this nail shop is not doing our nails right and giving back to our black community, because we're saying how much money we're bringing up in the store, okay, then, well, then this is how much money in your tax donation that you need to be giving back to our community, doing businesses with our businesses. And if you don't do business with us, we're just not doing business with you. And that's just the way the game is going to go, and we're going to do it with our dollars. No matter what city you in, everybody stick together. McDonald Monday, Ticket Tuesday. Ticket Tuesday is no lottery and no gambling. On Ticket Tuesday, no lottery, no gambling. Now, I do not do lottery, and I do not do gambling. I live in Las Vegas, and I know with my own eyes what gambling, I think, is worse than any drug you can ever do, woman, not anything. I think gambling. Again, we got to let people know, listen, just don't do it on Tuesday. And if you do not gamble, we're asking people, please don't go to no dollar stores. This is sucking and draining the black community going left and right. Just do not go to a dollar store if you do not do the gambling. And if you want to do both, we're telling people, we've got to understand, the more we do together and we do it as a unit, this is how we are having power. We are speaking truth to power. We are being free, because this is about being free, and that's the green, okay? Then number three, on Wednesday, do not go to Walmart on Wednesday. Whatever everybody do, stick together and let them know, the registers are empty on Wednesday, because the blacks did not even come and the workers didn't even show up. Okay? Walmart Wednesday. And don't go to no Mart stores. Quick Mart, Jiffy Mart, Convenient Mart, 7-Elevens. Do not go on Walmart Wednesday. Do not. It is so important that you organize, more important than it is that you boycott. So, again, this is about organizing. Then Thirsty Thursday, do not, whatever you do, do not buy any gasoline or alcohol. Do not. If you have to gas up the day before, if you have to stock up the day before, after, do not on Thursday go to a gas station and make sure you tell everybody else, you know, even if you have to stand outside with signs by the gas stations and say, do not go to the gas station on Thursday. What's Thursday, Thursday? Oh, don't go to the gas station on Thursday. Now, you can come back tomorrow, boo-boo. But today, nobody goes to the gas station on Thursday, and no alcohol. Like we're saying, we're not telling you not to do it. Just don't do it on these days. This is how we're going to start having organizing. We're going to start seeing our power and how strong our power is. Then you have Foreign Friday. This is a very special day. Foreign Friday is not to go to no foreigners on Friday. You only go to a black woman, and we saying black, O-W-N, only. It's owned by some black people that you only shop every Friday. Whatever you got to do, save up your time, your energy, seek out wherever you got to go for whatever you need. Find out where the black on Fridays, only shop black only on Friday. So, again, we need to let the foreigners know we're only going to start doing business with people who are doing business with us. And this is a commandment. This is very important, Pastor. This, I'm telling you, this is very important. It's a commandment, and I'm going to tell you, when you read the commandments, it actually take out more time telling you about the Sabbath and keeping it holy and about resting. Most of it's like, thou should not kill, thou should not steal. That. But when it comes down to resting and keeping the Sabbath holy, it actually gives us more instructions, and it's a commandment.
Mm.
So let's make sure that we're saying, you know what, we're just going to rest. We are going to rest on Sabbath Saturday. That's just going to go down in my household. Now, again, we got to understand, when we start doing everything individually and then doing it per household and then doing it collectively, this is how we've become to be very strong within our own community, because we're just as strong as our weakest link. So we want there to be no zero weak links within our community, and we understand what we're doing. And then, of course, we have Sunday. That's Black Power Down, Black Power Out, Black Rolling, Power Out Sundays. We want people to power down your electronics. We pick the time between 8 to 8:15 p.m. at night to power down on Sunday nights, to power down your devices as a show of solidarity force that we have rolling blackouts that we can control. Not that you control, but we controlling this. And just by not only doing that, it helps you to keep away from a lot of this hacking and a lot of these different things like that. But again, it's about showing how we can unify ourselves and everybody know what to do what not to do every single day. And this is how we're going to start flushing out these businesses that are supporting us, because I tell you what, if you stick together and they get ready to go in there on Thursday and they say, oh, wait a minute, what happened? Wait a minute, what happened? Well, you know, the black people just didn't come out. They said it's Thursday or something they got going on. And and then they're going to say, okay, well, what we got to do? Okay, then that's what we're talking about. We're going to talk with our money. And then this is very important. Going back to our Black Panther leader that was gunned down in his own home. And I'm going to say this because, again, this may be Deion's situation as well. What happens is that we have some Sambos that was forced into that too, because, you know, this is what they want to do. They don't want to do their own dirty work. They are nothing but cowards. They want somebody else to do the dirty work. And they try to get somebody close to you who want to hate on you. And at the same time, if they don't hate on you, well, then it's like, okay, well, we're going to hate on you. So which one do you want, us or them? And they almost in a situation where they have no options. And that's very unfortunate because, again, we are not coming together as a whole collective unit. But, again, things have really changed. And when we understand that we are looking forward, I mean, we're looking for our future. We're talking about some realistic, futuristic, you know, out of the box, cutting edge kind of stuff that we can be able to implement ourselves. We are the Davis brothers, and we're going to be also celebrating the anniversary of the Davis brothers, December 17th. This is a huge event, 120 years at 4 p.m. We want every single person, like we say, to blow the whistle with the Davis family, along with Grandmaster Jay, who is with the NFC coalition, who has been wrongfully thrown in jail. But again, this is nothing changed. We're saying let our people go. Everybody, we cannot stress, you know, we got too many of them who are walking around who are murderers, and they out on the streets. We need to open up all these jails and let all of our brothers and sisters out. Don't come and ask us for no vote. If you are not talking about letting our people out of these jails, and I'm talking about without processing no papers, I'm not interested in none of this. Under the Paper Reduction Act, it's already too much paper, and you've been using us for human trafficking, and you're targeting us and throwing us in jail and trying to take away the self-esteem and all of it. Yeah, stop it. No more. We've got to draw a line in the sand today. It doesn't go another step further. It is today that we are drawing that line in the sand and saying everybody stick together. Whatever they're going to do, they're just going to do it anyway. They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
What we say is pay back is back pay. You know, it ain't talking about no reparations. We're talking about some operating companies that are going on right today. And it is imperative that these companies, again, we're telling you, this belongs to us. What you talking about, you paying Deion Sanders, we got more money than you got, and the money you got is the money you stole from us. So we are demanding, what belongs to us. Again, everybody come on board. Call up your pastor, and if your pastor ain't on board, make sure you get them people out the way. This is going to be imperative. What he say, it's one-third of us. Okay, then we just need a few good men and women. We ain't looking for everybody. We don't want everybody. We just want the ones who want. Yeah. We just want them anyway. You know, the rest of it is dead weight. So we're moving forward in a positive manner. And please get this out on your social medias. It is imperative that, again, McDonald's Mondays. No fast foods on Mondays, Ticket Tuesday, no gamblings, no dollar stores, Walmart Wednesday, no convenience stores, no Walmarts, Thursday, no gasoline, and no alcohol, foreign Fridays, no foreigners. Whatever you do, don't go to a foreigner on Fridays. Please, this is so important. This is a global shutdown. We're talking about a global shutdown and a shifting of the wealth. So thank you for having this opportunity. Thank you so much for having this platform.
And, you know, what you said is so powerful, because we should not, and that's for real, we should not, even thinking about fast foods, you know, is something, you know. We don't need fast food. We don't need our children eating fast food and stuff like that. All they're doing is making them all sick.
Well, again,
absolutely.
Black farmers.
Absolutely.
Black farmers.
All right.
This is a black farmer lawsuit.
Every Sunday and every Monday, I'm going to be talking about not eating at McDonald's on Monday. And every show, because I want to, you know, one thing about my brothers and sisters, we got to get it through their heads. Listen, I got to move on.
Right.
But listen. It's my pleasure talking to you at all times. Thank you so much. We're getting better.
I have a lot of the information I'm going to send to you as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. All right, let's bring in the one and only Dr. Tans. I know you got a lot to say, so, hey, we gave you enough time so you can say what you need to say. Talk to me, Dr. Tans.
Yeah, thank you, the Honorable Reverend Pickney. The key point that I think you're doing is absolutely correct. Now, what we have to do is, what Malcolm told us, is history best rewards our research. And so what that means, we have to look at our past so that we can make corrections to our future. We have to look at our past to make corrections to our future. We have to look into our past to make correction to our future, and the African word for that is called Sankofa. And so one of the things that we as a people have always historically believed in was ownership. We always believed in ownership. We always believed in ownership, and we were also masters of stewardship. We were also masters of stewardship, and for the people to understand what stewardship means, it means that you would manage things well. And so those are the things that made the world admire us and look up to us. And those are the things that were taken from us. And so the young lady is trying to teach the social economics. She's trying to teach principles of Kwanzaa in her actions. But the goal is you have to also say that money that you don't spend at McDonald's, that money that you don't spend at Burger King, that money that you don't spend at Subway, that money you don't spend at Walmart, that money that you have to put somewhere on the side where you can't touch it, whether you go to Vanguard and create a little a simple IRA and put the money in there so it has to stay, because what we have been stripped of and taught not to is to accumulate wealth. We are the only people that were denied to the millions of acres of land that was given away to everybody. When I say everybody, I mean Chinese came over here in the 1800s. They were given land. All the Europeans coming in here from the different European countries, from Germany, from Ireland, from France, even Australia, they were given free land. And because they wanted the European population to populate this land that they had took from the second inhabitants. And I want you to hear me clearly. The land that they had took from the second inhabitants that Columbus miscalled the American Indians. So the American Indians should also be called Native Americans. But what we do know is that the F-O-L-S-O-N, and we know O-L-M-E-C, that the Folsom people were the first humanoid people or the first human beings in North America, and they had black skin and were wearing afros, and so we know how that goes. So they had black skin, wearing afros, a strong nose and full lips, and so you should, so that way you can't slip up on that, on historical fact. And this is what the European scholars have said. And it was when the Inuit, who came across the Bering Strait that we call the Eskimo, came here, that's who they found, and that's who they married. And we also know that this was a trading port 600 to 800 B.C. For Egypt, what we call Timet Kemet, or we call Kemet, and that was set up in what we call the Old Mexico, which gave birth to what we call the Olmec Empire, which has rock Polaroids still down there that you can actually see, you know, 10-ton statues that carved out with brothers from the hood. And during the time, again, 600 to 800 before the birth of Christ, that the Africans had a trading port here. And remember, European was still came out of the Ice Age, 6,000 B.C., developed a city-state, 1,000 B.C., and so they didn't even have it together like that until later when they started to take over Jerusalem and all these other places. So the native people, or what we call American Indians, their people said that when they looked at the Aztec and the Mayan empires, that those people were already here. They built those things, and they took over the things that were built by the ancestors. So the early Olmec built these things, pyramids. That's why the pyramids are similar into Egypt. They built those things, and these people inhabited, and that's what they said. But white anthropologists, because of the enslavement of the African, don't want you to know that history. So when you talk about critical race theory, that's not really nothing, because we have what's called multicultural. And that was when they let too much black out the box. And that's why they're trying to protect it, because, see, the only way you can enslave a people is to take away the history of a people. The only way you can enslave a people is you take away the history of the people. The only way to enslave a people is to take away the history of the people. The only way to enslave a people is to take away the history of the people. And most of us don't understand, because our pastors are part of the FBI, who literally works for the federal government and work for underneath the George Bush administration. It was made clear that the pastors are part of the faith-based initiative, which is the same thing as Find Blacks and Incarcerate, which is the same thing as the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and also with the Contrail program to prevent the rise of a black messiah, which, you know, led to the assassination of Martin Luther King, led to the assassination of Malcolm X, led to the assassination of Fred Hampton, led to the assassination, you know, of the Black Panthers. So even, I would say, even led to the assassination of Khalil Muhammad in recent times. So these people built this. They took care of it, and we look to the future. You know, the expense is over. was built 10,500 BC. The pyramids were built more recent than that, maybe around 8,000 BC. But our people were people of the future, not of the past. Our people were people of the future, always planning for the future, like you talk about, for the children. So if we're going to look at our situation, we have to say, one, land is the basis of independence, and we are renters and not owners. We have been taught to be renters and not owners. We have been taught to be renters and not owners. We have been taught to continue with slavery because slavery made us comfortable. Well, we didn't have to think about a lot of stuff or take care of a lot of stuff or do a lot of stuff and have people think for us. The thing about slavery that was a good thing is that slavery allowed us to have our own music. Now, today, none of the music belongs to black people. None of the music belongs to black people. The music industry is white-owned, and they tell you what they want to hear. They tell you that for the black community, I want you to make sure that the women have low self-esteem, that they're called B.I.T.s, and I want you to make it so jazzy that they don't mind being called a bitch and that they'll call themselves a bitch. I need you also to make it where that the men call themselves N.I.G.s or thugs and stuff like that so that they have a low self-esteem so they can sing those songs and put those thoughts into their children's head, into their daughter's head, to the childhood, so the daughter grow up trying to be a hoe and not a housewife. So the daughter grows up trying to be a hoe and not a housewife. So the daughter tries to grow up trying to be a hoe instead of a housewife. And that the sons, thinking that going to jail is a badge of honor, that the sons think that going to jail is a badge of honor, or that the sons wind up going into prison to see that like there's somebody, like they have a rap. So the sons are trying to go to prison to try to make a name for themselves because that's a low self-esteem thing. Low self-esteem thing that you go into prison for, but you don't know that all it is a part of making money for your oppressor. So, and what we said, when you talk about oppressing one restaurant, it's not no better than others. It's just like Republican, Democrat, and Independent. And Republican, Democrat, Independent is nothing but choosing Lucifer, Satan, or the devil. It's the same mix. Lucifer, Satan, or the devil is what they offer you with. But we're taught to hold on to the more demonic of those. We're told on to hold on to the people who want to promote homosexuality. We're taught to hold on to those who want to make the men into women. We're told on to hold on to those who want to make women into men. And we don't call them out. So our people never, never died to vote. Our people never, never died to vote. Our people never, never, never died to vote. They died to get something for their vote. They died to get something for their vote. They died to get something for their vote. So what the young lady is saying is that you hold your vote to the last minute so you decide and vote, and then you say, all right, what you going to give me? You hold your vote to the last minute, and then you say, all right, what you going to give me? What you going to give me for my vote? But because we have prostitutions as political leaders, and who are part of the Maturus Manumission, part of Django, that they're the Snowball or the Stevens up there, you know, and for people, Django, and when he called it Snowball, he was talking about Steven, who was Samuel Jackson, you know, who's that NIG on that nag, that was that House Negro, and that's what all your politicians are, you know, your major politicians. I work for the FBI, which is, you know, well-known and well-established. So if we're going to continue our movement, it has to be an economic movement, and it has to be a movement where we economically enrich our minds and take the poverty rap out of our minds, that we need to make the nigger rappers, we need to make these white racists who make the nigger rappers so-called famous to go poor, because remember, they use their influence and money time, airtime, to replace X-Clan, Public Enemy, De La Soul, A Tribe Called Quest. So we had all of that going on with positivity, Public Enemy. So we had all that positivity, but we sat back and let others control our race and the destination of our race. So we have to say, okay, once we can show that our people will unify behind shutting down and not giving them any money on a certain day, then we can start saying to those people, all right, we need some more McDonald's scholarships designated for the African-American community or the DOSA community. We talked to Walmart. We want some scholarships so that our kids can get some education. And the historical black colleges are owned by whites, but they can also give black role models so that Walmart, McDonald's, Burger King can put in for specific scholarships for that community so those kids can go there and see some self-esteem and then maybe also develop a dream so they could be somebody. So we got to flex the muscle and start saving the muscle, which is our capital. We are a $1.3 trillion people. We are a $1.3 trillion people. We are a $1.3 trillion people that everybody uses our money to develop their communities, to build their stores, to refurbish their housing. We are the source of the money that runs America, but we don't hold on to none of that. So we are maybe one of the most financially sovereign nation, between the fifth and the eighth nation in the world, that based on income alone, that's how powerful we are, that we have more spending money or a budget more than some of European countries and some African countries. But because we're so foolish, we have money, don't know what to do with it. Now, a 10-year, a 9-year-old kid, what he does with a pair of Jordans and he pisses on them. An 8-year-old kid with a pair of LeBrons, he pisses on them, because that don't mean anything. So our kids have been taught to piss on material items because they know there's something better than a material item that they're not getting. And so we also are guilty of brainwashing our children by TV and our children. We're guilty of brainwashing our children by TV and our children. We're guilty of brainwashing our children by TV and our children because the number one babysitter for our young children is the TV. The young mind is so absorbent that it can learn things so fast that that's the time now you have gay cartoons. Yes, you have homosexual cartoons. Yes, you have faggot cartoons. Yes, you have girl to girl in the cartoons. You got boy to boy in the cartoons. And they always kind of play a little bit around with the bestiality aspect of it. So, but these are people, we have to be really, really serious that we are looking up to people and trying to work with people, trying to partner with people who are the same people kidnapped us from the different cities in Africa while we were leaving out the city, going from one city to another, kidnapped us from universities, beat us, put us in a dungeon, stripped us naked, then took us on a ship, and they were packed side by side like sardines, where half of us died because of we couldn't breathe and get suffocated, and was thrown over the ships so that they would feed the sharks, because the sharks would follow the African slave ship from Africa to America, because they know they had a guaranteed meal. And so those same people who did that, who first only enslaved men, then later on went back and started enslaving women, those same people who got us here and took us to Trinidad, took us to St. Lucia, took us to Jamaica, took us to the Bahamas, and would tie the strong men up with one arm on one horse, one arm on another horse, another leg on the other horse, and that rebellious black, they would smack the horses at the same time, and the horse would rip that person apart. And they made sure all the pregnant women were watching this because they were trying to instill fear in us. So these same people who would cut the heads off at the person who was talking too much about their freedom or trying to remind the people of who they were, they would also try to cut the tongue out so the person couldn't speak. They would also make sure that they raped the 10-year-old little girls, 11-year-old little girls and 12-year-old girls. So these people who also would hang, put a rope around and hang you, and they try to disguise the word as lynching. But our people need to know the word hanging, so sometimes they don't identify with a lynching bill. It should be plainly that it's called a hanging bill. Our people don't identify that. So after these people have hung us, made us made us animals by saying that we are three-fifths human being in the Constitution, and created the 13th, the 14th, and 15th Amendment to limit us. And the 14th Amendment said that we could continue to be slaves if we go to prison. We can be still classified as slaves. So in 2022, going to 2023, we are still considered three-fifths human. And the Dred Scott decision said that the African will never, ever be a citizen by the Dred Scott decision. So that's why that when they kill a black, the black cannot be killed as a human being. The black is the destruction of property. A black kilt is not being murdered. A black kilt is not being killed. It's destruction of property, and therefore the black has to be put in the category of a civil rights violation. That's why when you see blacks who are murdered, they have to go after the police for a civil rights violation and not write up murder, because you can't murder property. So this is our reality in 2022. So we have to understand. So these same people who murder us like that made it illegal for us to learn, made it illegal for us to go to school, made it illegal for us to own land, made it illegal for us to actually speak our own language, made it illegal for us to play drums that we can communicate with, and made it illegal for us to participate in any land grants or even have patents or ownerships of anything. These same people also are famous for giving us a God that looks like them. These same people who did all that gives us a God that looks like them, and we will go ahead and fight and cut each other, throat, stab each other over the God that was the God of the people who did all this to us. So we have to remember and to look into Genesis chapter 2, and you start at verse 7, and then you go all the way to verse 13, and you will find out that using the original word, don't use the Shakespeare dust, but it said dirt. So he took the dirt of the ground, breathed into it, and that black man became a living soul. That black woman became a living soul. And he tells you, when you look for the Garden of Eden, look in chapter 2:11, he's going to tell you, look for Gihon and Pizon. These are the rivers that run through the whole land of Havilah, which is the Hebrew word for Nubia. And Nuba means gold, and God is very specific that he says, where the land of the gold is good. So he even made it clear that he's talking about Nubia. And then he says in 2:13, that also encompassed the whole land of Cush is the Hebrew, and Ethiopia is the Greek. So he's basically talking about Ben Harbor. So God made it very clear. And a lot of us have very low self-esteem. A lot of us don't even know, and we need to talk to our pastors. I'm asking everybody on the side of my voice, the 2,000 people or more on the side of my voice, I want you to go and ask your pastor, where did the Jesus story take place? Was it in Europe? Was it in Asia? Or was it in Africa? Because it sure enough in the hell wasn't in the Middle East, because the Middle East is Babylon. So it was on the tip of North Africa. That's where Canaan, so let me do some explaining. So Canaan is also called Palestine, also called Israel, is on the northern tip. That's why Jesus could be carried with Mary, could be carried with Joseph, right next door over in Egypt and hide with his cousins. Because you can't hide a white baby in Ben Harbor. You can't hide a white baby over in St. Joe. So you can't hide a black baby in Europe. So you can't hide a white baby in Africa. That's the reality. If, you know, Herod troops would have found him right away, a blonde, blue-eyed baby over in North Africa. So our people are so ashamed of that history, but we're going to claim that we love God, and that's why 99% of Christians are full of sugar, honey, iced tea, because they don't love God, because they don't love the way how God made them. They don't love the texture of their hair. They don't love the nose that God gave them. They don't love the lips that God gave them. And especially in the hell, don't love the skin that God gave them. And even though the Geneva Bible, the Wycliffe Bible, the Tyndale Bible, all says that his skin was like the soot of a chimney. The King James said that was redundant. So they said that the burnt bronze is burnt, so black is black. So that was redundant, but they're left that part out. And so all I'm just saying is that you have a financial plan to reestablish yourself as a black man, a black woman, for one purpose, for one purpose, for one purpose, for one goal, for one goal, for work on, is to establish the black family that God created in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden and the black woman, and they created the black family that had children. So it's not about woman's rights, men's rights, none of that's right. What it's all about, the fight, is for reestablishing the black family. Did you not know mm-hmm. that in the 1970s, that 75% of all the black households was husband and wife? 75% of all the households were black and white. But when it comes to black and white, the white households were 50%. The black households were 75%. So 75% of all the houses of black people had a husband and wife. Only 50%. And white homes had husband and wife. And that's when they created the projects. That's when they created Brewster Project. That's when they created Douglas Project. That's when they created Blossom Lane, which is called Highland Projects and Bus. They created those projects and said, bring your women and children here, but no men. Bring your women and children here, no men. So the men had to do little halfway houses so their children and wife could be in a nice house, but that was the war on the family. So we have to remember that was used. And then they pushed the social worker to also destroy the black family. So that's why keep your money private, keep your money for us out there. So I'm going to say, yeah, social service, welfare, don't need to know a damn thing about what you're doing in terms of your capital wealth assessment or trying to build wealth or trying to restore what they have. And our reparations is for the DOSA, Descendants of Enslaved Africans in America, DOSA, D-O-E-S-A-A, 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 Descendants of Enslaved Africans. Our reparations have to be global based on our history of free education, free health care, restoring of land, at least 20 acres and a mule. So we have to do those things.
We ran out of time, Doc. Hey, really appreciate you. Listen, we'll talk soon. Talk to you soon.